I'm your host, Jeff Dawson, for another episode of Dawson's Domain, where we cover the spectrum of life's pressing issues and events, from politics to relationships, sports to horror, alternative history to poetry, humor to baseball coaching, and everything in between. Good afternoon. It is a beautiful day in Dallas, Texas. It's partly cloudy, starting to warm up. I was going to take a swim today, but 35,000 gallons of water doesn't warm up that fast, so we'll have to put that off till tomorrow. But it is a perfect fall day, and I did see some people posting about that live up in Oklahoma, what they're going to endure for like the next 5 days, and just wham, 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 wham. But it's a bunch of whiners. Okay, it's going to be in the 90s. So what? You know, enjoy it, because if you've looked at the almanac, you're going to miss that 90-degree temperature come November, December, and January. And you don't have to believe me. Look up the almanac. You don't have to buy one. You don't have to subscribe to it. They'll show you the long-range forecast. And for us, mid-November, December, and January are going to be cold. That's it. So all this whining about, oh, it's going to be 90 degrees, well, shut the hell up. Because in 3 months, you're going to be posting on Facebook, oh, it's so damn cold. And I'll say the same thing, shut the hell up. Wake up, suck it up, and deal with it. My God, it's just weather. It happens every year. We go through the same cycle. And I shouldn't be so hard on people about it, but after spending 35 years outside in it, I know what it's like. You know, there was always that saying, colder than a ditch digger's ass. Well, believe me, I was that ditch digger at times. And when it was cold, my boss didn't ask if I was warm, if I was happy, if I wanted to work. He said, you got a job to do, son, do it. I remember one year we had to dig the mud out of the tracks of a dozer because the operator didn't do it, and they're frozen solid. That was cold. But hey, bitch and moan all you want to. Foreman looked at us and said, hey, if you want to warm up, start working. And you know something? He was right, and we did. So enough of the weather forecast. Subscribers, always looking for subscribers, goes from $2.99 to $49.99. The difference is what you think the content is worth. That's it. You don't get a participation trophy. I'm sorry, if you want one, go elsewhere, because we don't have them here. Isn't that terrible? And if you want to call into the show, have any comments, the number is 888-627-6008 or 323-744-4831, and you can listen to it on iHeartRadio at 631-359-9353. Now, we're only going to be getting an hour because there is a show behind us. I'm still doing my management seminars. It looks like we might have something cooking with FFE down in Lancaster, so I'm excited about that. And with the month of October coming up, I don't have a date yet, but Dr. Nikesha McDaniel O'Connor and Connor and I will be doing a breast cancer and relationship presentation. I talk about my book, Love's True Second Chance, and what it was like to take care of the love of my life, Debbie. And then she sells essential oils through her chiropractic practice to maintain good breast health. And it only lasts about 30 minutes. So when more details are available, I will pass them on. Herbalife. I'm doing it every day. I don't overdo it. I don't go out there, you know, these fad diets, and you see them advertised on TV all the time, blah, blah, blah. It's changed the lifestyle. You want to feel better? It works. I'm taking their joint supplement now because my joints with this swimming are just kicking my ass. It is really that simple. I'm not going to lie. That's one thing I don't do. I don't lie about stuff. I take a shake a day. a protein bar when I don't want to eat lunch. I do my 2 mile walk. And when the water's warm, we do the swim. And if I wasn't taking Herbalife, I doubt I'd be motivated to do any of that. I really do. Because sometimes that energy level is just low. And they've got products I can't take that will give you energy because they are caffeine based. And that's the Total Control, the Liftoff, and their herbal teas. They're 45 milligrams of caffeine. It is high intensity. And I'd love to try it, but I know what happens when caffeine and I meet since my blood clots. And I really don't want to spend my days in the ER having them settle down my heart. And that's just the way it is. It's good stuff. It'll get you going. And they've come up with a new one on weight loss. My Facebook would come up. I could probably tell you, but that's going to take a while. If it does come up, I'll get into that. But you can take it by itself. You can mix it with something. Yeah, I know. Hey, dumbass, why don't you tell us what it's called? Well, like I said, my Facebook's pulling up. And when it gets there, I'll let you know. Friday night. Friday night is Dunstan's. But what we didn't tell the folks last night was that Wes and I had gone to the Dunstan's on Lover's Lane Thursday because they've got an appetizer that's just killer. I can't pronounce it, but it's cowboy trattoria. Basically, it is cheddar cheese and sausage. That's it. Man, that's a meal in itself. Good times. Good times. Well, last night, we had the normal Jerry and my sister Patty and Doug and some people we hadn't seen in about 2 years was Gabby and Jay. I vaguely remember meeting them. As I said, it was about 2 years ago, and thanks to my sister Patty, they purchased a book, Love's True Second Chance. So that was really cool. In fact, I sold several books last night. And we have to give honorable mention to our servers, Tabitha and Brandon. And for some reason, I'm going to give an honorable mention to Tammy, Janet, and Louisa. Why? I really don't know, but it sounds good because Janet gave me grief from the minute I walked in until I walked out. But Louisa and Tabitha, they both picked up their order, their Herbalife orders, and they were quite excited about that. And I told them, hey, you tell people you want to sign up and be a distributor, it's 35% off. Think about that. And we'll see what happens there. But it was a very fun evening. It's always a good time. Almost got in a napkin fight, but my sister realized that it would be a losing effort on her part. So, and I keep trying to convince her neighbor, Jackie Mack, that you need to talk to her because she thinks she's all that and is just going to take me down. You know how people are on Facebook. They say all this stuff and get all excited. And then you see them in person. They're like, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. Well, that's kind of the relationship that we have. But what a deal it is. Okay, that came up. So now I'm going to have to figure out how to get into it. But it's always a good time. I mean, they got two locations. They got Lover's Lane. They got the one we go to on Harry Hines. And it's just good times. It's good food. It's just good. Why is that flashing? Okay. And I would also like to announce that my oldest granddaughter, Colleen, is officially in the United States Air Force. She will ship out in mid-October. She was waffling about what to do. She wasn't sure. She knew she wanted to be in the military. She was thinking about doing reserves. We had about a 30-minute chat over that, and now she's all in. So she is ready to pave her way and start a new venture. This damn thing. Oh, hell. All right, I'm gonna have to go back to it. Just can't get in. That's just a bunch of garbage. All right. One book review. And this is Bill Sholin. And I'm bringing this up because when we were at Dunstan's on Thursday, one of the waiters was listening to us talk about history. And he looked at me and he goes, "You aren't old enough to be at Pearl Harbor." And I was like, "No, but you know a lot about it." Well, yeah, because I've read a lot. And I love World War II history. And the guy who took us to lunch, Brian Sanborn, his father passed recently, and he was at Okinawa, and Brian was talking about why is it always Iwo Jima that gets all the glory and not Okinawa? And I said, well, because Iwo was the first Japanese-held island that we took over. Plus, it became a way station for the B-29s between Tinian and the home island of Japan because we were losing a lot of planes. In fact, B-29s were landing before the island was completely secured, if you didn't know that. But I said, yes, Okinawa kind of takes a back seat. But it was much bloodier, much more ferocious than you can possibly imagine. In fact, Patty's father was on a destroyer escort or a destroyer that was part of the Sacrificial Lambs. That's the title of the book by Bill Scholing. Their whole mission was to draw the kamikazes to them and shoot down as many of them as they could before they could go and hit our main fleet. And they took horrible losses, and every one of those sailors knew they were more than in harm's way. It was a bloodbath, and but they knew what their mission was, and it was to protect those ships and our men, and they did an outstanding job of it. Absolutely outstanding. So if you like World War II history and you're interested in reading about that, I highly recommend that you have a look at it. It's really, really a excellent book. And I do have to reply right here real quick. Damn it. I don't know if
Highly
this is going to work.
recommend
Shit. No, I can't do that. Yes, Patty, I saw your message, but I can't respond to it because I get a bunch of back feed on it. Irritating commercials. There are too many to count, and I really don't want to get into them. But, between Liberty Mutual and Progressive, they lead the pack. That's all there is to it. Now, I'm not going to go into what the mainstream media is talking about because if you turn on CNN, MSNBC, all the other left-wing organizations, all they want to talk about is January 6th and the Queen, which that is a big deal. Queen Elizabeth IX, she was a benevolent ruler, unlike many of the kings and queens that the British Empire had through the centuries. That's right, centuries. They were not the most benevolent ruler, but the world had changed a lot when she became the queen, and she ruled with a lot of dignity, even with all of the upheaval that was going on with her family and everything else. But and then Fox, well, they want to talk about the immigration situation. They want to talk about the midterms. Of course, I've been talking about the midterms since Biden was elected. It's just a shit show, folks. That's all it is. It's not even entertainment. I mean, and I've talked about this. Look up the term show, because that's all they are, and it's to entertain. Well, it's just to entertain the masses who just, I don't know, you got nothing better to do. There's got to be something better to do than watch any of these networks all day long because it's all opinion. In fact, the other night, Jesse Waters had on Lindsey Graham, and Lindsey got in an argument with him because Jesse's trying to tell him when to promote legislation because Lindsey's talking about this abortion ban that he's going to put up that's not going to pass with the current Congress. And I don't know if it'll pass, even if the Republicans take the House and the Senate. But it's like, what the hell is this? Why is Jesse, you want to be a politician? Then be a politician, get off the air, because really you don't have much to add anyway. I don't know why Fox picked you up. They could drop you like a bad habit, and you know something, you wouldn't be missed. But to argue and tell a senator how to do his political game and handle his timing was just ludicrous, just dumbassery. And then I saw the same thing on CNN this morning. I forgot the, they're not anchors, they're morons. Had on the Republican from Indianapolis, a congresswoman, and she is of Russian descent. And they were talking about, you know, what Abbott and DeSantis are doing and how inhumane it is. It's not humane that tens of thousands are crossing the border into Texas and California and New Mexico and Arizona every month. No, that's not inhumane. And that they don't have a plan. Well, like these people have a plan when they cross the border. Their plan is what Biden told them when he was running for election. Everything's free. Everything's free. Come. But to listen to these people, well, it's just they're using them as pawns and oh blah 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 blah. Shut the hell up. And this ass, I'm gonna have to come up with a term for anchors because that's not what they are. They don't anchor anything but their fat asses in chairs. That goes for females too. Well, you didn't answer my question. And she's like, immigration is a problem. And it wasn't broken under Trump, period. He actually enforced the laws. So this that black lesbian bitch who gets up there and lies every day for the president, she just needs to be just go away. We thought Psaki was bad. We were wrong. We weren't even close. I mean, she is a perfect puppet. She'd have done well in the Third Reich. Here, read this. We won the Battle of Stalingrad, even though we just lost the Sixth Army, and she'd read it and believe it. That's how ignorant she is. And she would read, she would be in the bunker in Berlin saying, our forces are being victorious while the Russians are shelling the hell out of them and are only 200 meters from the bunker. That's how ignorant she is. But hey, who appointed her? It's all you need to know about this administration. But this guy just kept badgering this congresswoman. And she was answering the question, but he wasn't getting the answer that he wanted. And that's all the news is today. If you don't give the answer that they like, then they will start badgering you. And I've seen it on every network there is when a guest goes south. In fact, I was watching the replay of Bill Maher today, and he had Trace Adkins on there. We know Adkins is a conservative. We know Maher is a liberal. And that guy is, I mean, he should turn himself into a windshield wiper. And so should his audience because they're all a bunch of damn seals. Trump's bad. They all applaud. Trump's good. They all applaud. Republicans are bad. They all applaud. Republicans are good. They will applaud and laugh at the dumbest things possible, which means they got to have a hell of a lot of barkers in that audience telling them how to react. And I said this during the pandemic. When these people were on, what's it like telling bad jokes and nobody is laughing? Except your crew, which they're paid by you anyway, so they'll do what they're told to do. But, you know, Bill wasn't getting the answers he wanted to out of Trace, but he had to be careful because Trace Adkins could stomp a mud hole in him in a heartbeat. It's a big man. But the pandering that goes on, Bill Maher's show, you know, they say it's political commentary and entertainment. Well, what do you think the networks are? It's the same thing. Where's the news? I don't know. Where is the news? It's gone. So let's talk about a story that really excited me. Everybody remember Caitlin Bennett, the gun-toting gal who the left just despised and went up to Ohio University, and I mean, that was nothing but a mob that ran her off campus. Well, during this George Floyd bullshit, which I'm so glad to see that the state of Texas isn't going to pardon that black son of a bitch. My God, just ridiculous. But there was a burglary at a donut store in at Oberlin College. The donut store was part of the town, and the campus tried to shut them down. And this was where we really saw the woke movement coming to fruition, in that, and these people had done business with the college for decades. But all because they didn't have the facts, which was most of what all this woke bullshit was about. Well, they had knee-jerk PD reactions, and they wanted it shut down. Well, I am proud and happy to report, based on the news or article I found, that Oberlin College has agreed to pay more than $36 million to the owners of the bakery. Initially, they're awarded 44 in punitive and compensatory damages after it sued the college. So, 36.59 million the college has agreed to pay, which includes attorney's fees and around 5 million in interest. Well, hallelujah, justice has been done. Those people are set for life now, all because, oh, and this college has a $1 billion trust fund. And if you look up Oberlin College, it was actually started by two Presbyterian ministers. Man, have they gotten off track. I mean, I've read John Calvin and John Knox, and this is not, take it from the movie Gladiator, this is not what they wanted. And it isn't. But they got bitch slapped. Yes, that excited me. So glad to see that. And of course, the college goes on with their, what was it? Oh, I love this quote. The college, which has an endowment of almost $1 billion, said careful financial planning, including insurance coverage, means it can pay the bakery without impacting our academic and student experience. I don't give two shits. If shutting you down would have been better. But that's the academic elite talking. And of course, they accept no responsibility. We did nothing wrong, but we're going to pay this anyway. Really? You did nothing wrong, but you're going to pay this bakery $36 million. Yeah, you screwed the pooch and don't have the balls to admit you screwed up. And that is the problem with America. That is the biggest problem. If people would be accountable, how many problems would be eliminated overnight? How many debates would never start because there was nothing to gossip about per se? Probably 90% of them. That'd be my take on it. 90%. All right. What other story haven't you heard about? Oh, remember that Indian woman, Haaland, that Biden appointed because it was such a groundbreaking move? Well, guess what she's been doing other than jacking up the rates on leases for the oil companies? She's been on a crusade. Reminds me of the episode of Wagon Train I watched, where there were a bunch of temperance on that just kind of invaded the wagon train and were trying to get rid of alcohol. Yeah, that worked out well. She has officially gotten the name of Squaw Canyon in Arizona changed to Red Rock Canyon. And in California, Squaw Valley Spring is now Osocomb Spring, and on. How, what was it? A list of 643 lands have been renamed to remove the word squaw. Hell, the French came up with the name and it stuck. So, how many millions of dollars were just wasted to get rid of a name that nobody really cared about, except a very few, just like the Guardians, the Indians becoming the Guardians and the Redskins becoming the Commanders or something? What the hell? Has that changed anything? No. Is the left still pushing white supremacist and racial animosity? Turn on the left-wing channels every day. So all of these social movements and name changes are doing nothing, wasting a lot of money. Now, the people that got the contracts, I'm sure they're happy. God knows what they charge for those services. So somebody made money. Did it resolve an issue? No. Is it going to stop racial divisiveness in this country? No. But they can go home with their participation trophy and feel better about themselves. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. What a bunch of idiots. Idiots. But if you didn't know that, you do now. Okay. MASH. If you're my age, and probably, yeah, maybe, let's see, mid 50s on up. You've heard of the show MASH. Probably most of you probably didn't see the movie, which was really funny. That was bizarre. When MASH first came out, it was good because they stuck to the roots. They even had a character called Spearchucker, and he was black. Boy, how do you think that'd go over today? Like a lead balloon. You know, when it first came out, I liked it. But when I got into college, it was kind of a ritual. And then something changed. And I'll never forget my roommate, Mike Addison, looked at me because it was time for MASH to come on. And he goes, "Oh, are you going to watch it?" And I said, "No." He was like, "What? What are you talking about?" And I said, "I am no longer watching the Alan Alda show," because that's what it turned into, in his personal opinion, of a war that we didn't start. But anyone who watches that show swears it's our fault that we're there. They never mention how the war started, why we were there, but they want to make fun of everybody that was there, especially Douglas MacArthur, which I have no love lost for. But it became nothing but a political bullshit thing, and I'm still trying to figure out how, you know, that show ran for what, 10 years, 9 years? The war lasted three. No wonder they were tired and ready to go home. But how come Margaret Houlihan always had perfect hair? Someone explain that to me. In a war zone, always perfect. When it was cold, when it was hot, perfect hair. How'd that work out? But yeah. I was one of the few that did not watch the final episode. And I think I finally found some of it on YouTube and watched it. And it's like, well, I didn't miss much. And that was a waste of time. It really is. But yeah, when it became written, produced, directed by Alan Alda. That's why Wayne Rogers left. He'd had enough. Radar, Berghoff, they'd had enough. It became nothing but a sounding board for Alan Alda to give his take on the Korean War. And when Harry Morgan, who was supposed to be regular army, started going along with this, it's like, well, wait a minute. Harry, you were in World War I and World War II. So what changed to where you are actually attacking the industry, the career that you chose? Yeah, the hypocrisy that started coming out in those last 3 or 4 years, I didn't give a shit, didn't care, don't watch it. And yeah, I didn't like it. You got a problem with that? Too bad. Maybe you like it. All right. Immigration. We know under Biden it's been a busted system. Well, now we have, while our state is being flooded with illegals, including Oklahoma, Arizona, New Mexico, California, and even Florida to a degree. Well, those people up in the north said everything was fine. It's okay. There are no problems down there because it didn't affect them. Now that it's affecting them, they're jumping up and down. Well, you didn't tell us. Well, we aren't told how many thousands are going to try and cross each day. They don't send us a memo, a telegram, a smoke signal. They don't call on their cell phone because they're waiting to get one from us. Isn't it funny how the mayor of New York City's got his panties in a wad? Wham, wham, wham. How's it feel? And your city is supposed to be the most welcoming because of Ellis Island, or did you forget that? And I love that they sent people to Martha's Vineyard, home of the liberal elite. Now that was a classic move. You can call it whatever you want to. It's not a political stunt. It's, hey, you don't seem to have a problem with it, so we're going to send them to you. You seal up the border, and guess what? There won't be any more buses. There won't be any more midnight flights like Biden was doing. We'll be good. We weren't shipping migrants to the Northeast during Trump, were we? No, because he shut the border down. And for them to keep saying the immigration system is broken because you're not enforcing the laws again and you are encouraging these people to come. It really is that simple. It really is that simple. So, welcome to the party. Give us you're tired, you're poor. But only if you send us a message before you send them. Like they would let those buses come in or those planes land, they'd say, hell no. You're not coming here. The hypocrisy is so bad. It really is. All right, let's see. So they bitch and moan and complain. And the other day I caught something. Fox News power rankings. What the hell is this? Is this their pre-NCAA poll or something? And it was Sandra Smith that said it, and I was like, nobody cares. Fox News power rankings. Oh, power your ass off the set. Got these producers, because they're the ones that are coming up with this crap. That's all it. Maybe they work for Liberty Mutual Progressive and should be making commercials, because they're not giving us the news. That's for damn sure. All right, what else? Donald Trump. little article on him that if he gets indicted, there's going to be trouble in the United States. And what trouble would that be? Of course, he doesn't go into it because of the rally that he held January 6th, which those hearings are just a waste of time. A waste of time. A waste of time. But Donald needs to shut up. He really does. I'm tired of him. I loved him as a president, but enough is enough. And anybody who thinks that we want him in 24, no. I mean, the media is still badgering him now. What do you think it's going to be like with a lame duck president? Because if he pisses, if the Republicans get the House and the Senate, you think they're going to go along with what he wants to do? Hell, they didn't when he was in the first time. And he had them for the first 2 years. How'd that work out? It didn't. He pissed everybody off. Yes, Washington needs to be cleaned up. The House needs to be cleaned, and he was working on that. But enough is enough. Donald, go out there and find someone. If you don't like Ron DeSantis, find somebody else to get behind. Don't pull a Mickey Mouse. What was that guy's name that ran against Bush? Ross Perot Jr. We don't need that shit. And if you remember, that's what Trump started out as an independent. He was not on the Republican ticket until they called him into the office and said, if you don't run on our ticket, we will not win the White House. This is going to be the identical thing that Ross Perot Jr. did. And he's going to knock out the Republican candidate because there are a lot of people that agree with what he said. And if you go back and look, that's exactly what happened. Not the first time, even if Senior Bush Senior would have gotten all of those votes, it was still not enough to win. The second time it was. So take that and figure it out. But a lot of people are going to be upset. And one other thing before I get into baseball, because we're down to 17 minutes. Yeah, I watched Bill Maher. I forgot what his show's called. But he spouted off that Biden has a 49% approval rating. Oh, what are you smoking, Bill? Because I looked it up, and this was a Reuters poll from 9/13/2022, and it's 39%. So where'd you get the other 10? Did you just wave your wand like Obama said about our economy to Trump? Oh, I guess he's got a magic wand to wave or something. But those people in the audience will believe that, and the people that are on the left to watch his show will believe that, and they'll probably start posting it on Facebook that they heard that Biden's approval rating is 49%. Wrong. It's 39, so it's gone up 3 points. Wow. Isn't that something to write home about? No. All right. Now, this was my buddy Wes. He asked me that if I have the time to get into the rules, so I'll do the rules first. The new rules for baseball that will be implemented in 2023. Larger bases, pitch clock, no shifts, and 30 seconds between at bats. Now, Wes and I argued about this because he didn't quite understand what they're saying. So, after a play ends, a batter has 30 seconds to get from the on-deck circle to the plate. That's about 15 seconds too long. Pitchers have 15 seconds to deliver a ball to the plate after they've received it, 20 seconds if there's a runner on base. You know something? I watched Manfred and Epstein and this other clown talking about it. That's always been in the rule book. Now, the bigger bases, I'm not sure about that. Don't care. I don't think it's needed, but hey, they're going to implement it. And they said it's all about the fan experience, and they spent 2 years in this intensive study and watched 8,000 minor league games and blah, blah, blah. I can't stand Rob Manfred because he's just a political mouthpiece. He should be working for CNN or MSNBC. You really think this is going to speed up the game? Go to a minor league game and set a clock to it. It might go 2.5, 3 hours. It's got a good pace. You know why? Because they don't have commercials, because they're not nationally televised. You want to make a change to the game, then cut the commercial time in half. If that means that you've got to double that rate, then double the rate. Because these sponsors, and like I said, that's one thing in the book I might write, the price of number one. All the auto dealers and the beer manufacturers and the chip makers, they're running more commercials than we can count. We get sick of it. And then throw in the insurance companies. You think they're going to bat an eye that you just doubled their rate because you're cutting down how many commercials they can show? So they're going to be paying the same? They won't bat an eye. This is not going to speed up the game. It'll speed it up on the field. But if you've ever gone to a college football or an NFL game, you'll see a guy with an orange mitt. Well, that's the guy that's holding up play because they're still in a commercial break. And until he drops his hand, nothing happens. I saw that at the UT OU game. That's the one with the control. And everyone was standing around with their thumbs up their ass, waiting for him to drop the mitten so they could go back and start playing the game. That's the problem. I mean, there have been rules in baseball that they just didn't enforce. That's all there is to it. And they're thinking that fans are going to be more excited over stolen bases. Well, you know, Lou Brock and Rickey Henderson are the ones that come to mind to me. And Curt Flood, I mean, they were speedsters. Bubba Thompson's probably going to be one of them. Not everyone can steal bases. It's an art. My youngest son, Sean, was very good at it, but believe me, we worked at it before practice, after practice. Stealing base, I couldn't do it. I wasn't fast. I was average. But I couldn't get a good jump. Me stealing, Jeff Dawson stealing a base. Yeah, when the game was over, he might steal it, put it in his truck, but he sure wasn't going to do it during a game. So this deal that stolen bases is no, they're, if I would say maybe half of a percent of major leaguers are capable of attempting to steal a base on a daily basis. The Rangers have one that can consistently do this. There can be attempts, but not like Ricky and Lou and Kurt and Ty Cobb. It's an art. So I think that's just a bunch of crap. I really do. All right. I gotta talk about my college. They're going to play Pine Bluff Junior High College today. Where's my little flag? I need a flag that says yay, like they did in Monty Python, the Holy Grail. They should be 3-0 when that game's over. And that's going to be it. They're going to walk into the Big 12. And if they can't destroy this Pine Bluff school, my God, it's going to be a long season in the Big 12. I mean, oh, it's going to be painful. OU will kill them. Texas will kill them. Baylor will spin them out. They might have a chance with Texas Tech, but I wouldn't hold my breath. Kansas, yeah, maybe K-State. Doubtful. It's just going to be ugly for them. I mean, I haven't been able to watch them live. I think I caught some of the Central Michigan high school game. But it's just going to be ugly, ugly, ugly. So, Mike Gundy, you better get shit together because this could be your last year if this is a pathetic year. All right. Oh, and back to the baseball rules. Like I said, they got 30, the batter has 30 seconds. You know, it doesn't take 30 seconds to walk from the on deck circle to the plate. That's ridiculous. But then all of these rule changes to me are ridiculous. The shift, okay, fine. You don't want them to shift anymore, do it. Well, there went a whole lot of analytical bullshit material. So now these guys are going to have to work for their pay, and that's going to kill Kyle Seager because he sucks at shortstop. Just plain sucks. That's all there is to it. I didn't look at it before we started today's episode, but the last time I checked about 2 weeks ago, he was third in errors in all of Major League. And I know he had a major faux pas the other night. And I could get into what Dave Raymond said, that you don't need guys like Ozzie Smith. Well, he's just a dumbass anyway, and I think he needs to. I think he and Nitwit need to go. They add nothing to the game but utter stupidity, just like Josh Levin did when he was here. So the big debate right now is who are the Rangers going to get to manage the team? I don't have a clue. I know, I don't even know if Chris Young's going to be here. But Simpson and Davis, they couldn't fire the president, the GM, and the manager, all three at one time, not mid-stride. That would leave a huge vacuum, and they would have to start running things, literally, in the office every day. They're not ready to do that. But the reason I'm not a big fan of Chris Young is this, and I pointed this out on an episode about 2 months ago, and this was his quote. "We didn't expect to go worst to first this season. Culture builds, and Woody has had an impact on that culture, a very positive impact in a lot of ways. This is about moving forward, what the next step is, and building that culture. And we feel that the time is right." And all it was a losing culture. Really? That's who you want as your GM or president? He supported the bullshit that's been going, even though he'd only been there like a year and a half, he was supporting the bullshit that's been going on for 5 years. We didn't have a culture here. Losing. That's what we had. But the talent is there, folks. I'm telling you, I've seen it. The talent is there. What isn't there is a baseball manager like Ron Washington or John Madden. Guys that don't rely on a computer to tell them how to field a team. And to identify their capabilities, they do it by watching and using their brain as their computer. Because that's what I did when I coached and I managed. It's here. I got to know my players. I know what their capabilities are. I know what they can do. I know what they can't do. And I know what needs to be worked on. That's what a manager does. He doesn't open up his laptop to have him be told what a player's performance is. I can see it. A pitching coach. They've got to get a top-notch pitching coach. That's just it. They've got the arms. Now they need to be developed. I think we've got our starting five. Get the right pitching coach like Maddux. You get Maddux back, he'll turn these kids into stars. We get the crap that we've been seeing, like Seguro and Mathis and who was the guy before? Brocal. Those guys have been horrible. Horrible. Nothing good about them. And if you don't get a good manager and good pitching coach, it doesn't matter what you put on the field. Because they won't perform. And that includes an infield coach. I mean, you've got a player making 25 and one making 32 and a half, and they can't turn they can't turn a tailor-made double play to save their lives. And we saw it the other night. It was perfectly set up, and Seager wings the ball away from low. It's like, what the hell is this? Yes, their bats are good, but they're only capable of performing one of three operations. You got hitting, you got fielding, you got base running. They're only good at one. Well, if that was your batting average, that'd be pretty good. But if you want to build a contender, you got to be good in all three. You got to be 100%. You're not that, you're crap. You will not win your division. You will not be a wild card selection. And if you are, you go out in the first round. And that's what they need. And it was going to go into, well, I can do it real quick because I got one other thing I want to talk about, and that's the Ukraine. As of right now, the Yanks, they got a 5.5 lead on the Jays. That's still a race. The Guardians, they got the White Sox 4 games behind them. The Astros, they're set. The real battle is between the Rays and the Mariners on who's going to be where. It's just a seeding deal. But for the most part, it's in the National League. The Braves and the Mets, man, they're going to fight this out to the end. One game separates them. The Cards, they're 7.5 up on the Brewers. So I'd say, barring a horrible meltdown, which I do not see with the St. Louis Cardinals, they're going to win theirs. The Dodgers, they've been in the driver's seat since July. No one's knocking them off. The Padres are still, they're outside looking in, hoping to maybe secure one. And the Giants that ESPN just flaunts over all the time about, oh, if they get in and they do this, blah, blah, blah. They don't have a prayer. They're done. They're over. Stick a fork in them and shut the hell up. They just like them because that's a gay lesbian town and they're all about the BLM flag. And remember, ESPN was a big BLM supporter, so they're all about that. Well, their beloved Giants are going home. That's it. They're not going anywhere, so shut the hell up about them. The war in Ukraine. That's how we're going to wrap this up. If you go back, I did an episode and I had a guest, Colonel Smith, and we talked about the Ukraine and how this battle would be won and the lessons from World War II and how the Russians had forgotten all those lessons. Well, they have. And if you go back in the archive as a subscriber and start going through, you're going to find this episode where we talked about it. And this is what I said, that the first place the Russians are going to get thrown out of is Kiev because they had a very small perimeter going into Kiev and they couldn't defend the flanks and they got thrown out real fast. In Kharkov, in that region, when you looked at it, it kind of looked like go back to the Battle of Kursk. There's this huge bulge in the line. If the Ukrainians could mass enough forces, they could pincer off those ends like the Germans tried to do in 43, and those Russians would evacuate rapidly. Gee, what's going on there? The same thing. They are evacuating rapidly because the Ukrainians just about have tied that bag in a knot. And those Russians are fleeing for their lives because they don't want to be a prisoner. Now, the Donbas region, that's going to be more like our Battle of the Bulge, where you just got to go head to head. And I don't see them making many gains down there because one thing the Ukrainians don't have is a huge armored force. And to be successful, that's what you need. Because the point would be is breach a line in the Soviet defenses 3 to 5 miles wide and just flood your armor in there, blitzkrieg methods that the Germans devised, and start enveloping your enemy. They don't have the armor. They just don't have it. And if you don't have then you're going to be in a knockdown, drag out fight like we were in the Bulge. Remember, what the Germans took in a week took us 6 weeks to push them out of in absolutely horrific conditions. It wouldn't have taken as long, but Hitler planned the attack in bad weather, so our Air Force was grounded, which they were. And it took weeks for that weather to clear, weeks and weeks. So we had to do it on the ground. The infantry, the armor, the artillery. I mean, they just had to go head to head with the Germans and just start beating them back slowly. And it was a very, I mean, like I said, 6 weeks to knock them back to the starting point. That was brutal. That was brutal. Well, that's where the Ukraine is right now. They're going to be successful around Kharkov. We talked about it. We laid out how it can be done, just like I did now. It isn't that hard. But that southern region, no. The Ukraine doesn't have that big of a military to just go toe to toe with a foe that if they're dug in, I mean, you can go back to the Battle of Sevastopol, where the Russians were dug in and the Germans were trying to take that town. Brutal. Absolutely brutal. There was no way to outflank the Russians. Every position was fortified. It just can't be done. Unless you're willing to pay a high price. And it would be a very high price. And I don't think Zelensky's willing to sacrifice that many men for those meager gains. I really don't. It's just going to be horrendous. It'd be like our troops, what I talked about earlier in Okinawa. What made Okinawa so bad was not only the kamikazes, but the Japanese let us land on the island. We landed on the west side, split the island in two, sent forces to the east and the north, and hit very little resistance. That's because the Japanese were all down in the south. And if you've seen that movie, it's not Heartbreak Ridge with Garfield's in it about Desmond Doss. When we started running into the Japanese opposition, it was bad. 100,000 casualties is what we endured compared to 25 on Iwo. It was a bloodbath. Well, that's what the Ukrainian forces will be going up against. Hacksaw Ridge, that's the name of the movie. Excellent film if you haven't seen it. As the Russians are just gonna be a bulldozer running into boulders. Sooner or later, those boulders will move, but how many men are you willing to sacrifice to do that? Well, you can't bleed yourself dry because you still have to defend the gains that you have conquered. Because if you bleed yourself dry, then you leave the door wide open and it all goes to hell. You're most welcome, Miss Patricia, for mentioning your father because he was a true hero. He faced the worst the Japanese could throw at us. And as I said at the beginning, I talked about Sacrificial Lambs, the book by Bill Sholin. If you want to know anything about Okinawa or the what it was like to be in the Pacific as a sailor. Read that book. It's not widely publicized. It doesn't get a lot of press, but it is excellent. And some of the pictures in that book, I mean, there's one, the photographer's taking it, and there is a Japanese plane. It can't be more than 50 yards away, and it's bearing down on a gunner that you can see in the foreground firing at that plane. That's what those men went through every day, and sometimes multiple times a day, because the Japanese just kept sending wave after wave after wave of these planes trying to destroy our fleet. In fact, they inflicted more damage on our fleet in the Battle of Okinawa than any other naval battle during World War II. That's how bad it was. And it was impossible to defend against. Well, I'm kind of surprised because it's 3:05 and I haven't gotten a message from the producer, Mr. Don. How much, Don, how much time do we have left? Or is it time to start wrapping it up? There we go. It is time to wrap it up. All right. Well, we got a few extra minutes than we thought. So, excuse me, but watch for an update on the breast cancer and relationship presentation that I will be doing with Dr. McDaniel in October. Like I said, date is not set. Management seminars, give me a shout out. My email is jdawson41, the number, at netzero.net. My rates are affordable. I've enjoyed our time today. I hope you learned something. And if not, and you question what I said, well, then research it and we can discuss it on the next one. Y'all have a great week. I'm sure you'll survive this massive heat wave that's coming up. Have a good week. Take care of yourself, and I will talk to you in 2 weeks. Dawson out. I hope you enjoyed our time together. I know I did. Without you wonderful listeners, this show would not be possible. If you want to know more about me and how my brain works, that's a scary thought, check out my books at Jeff Dawson on Amazon.com, websites LDDJ Enterprises, and jeffdawsonauthor.site for upcoming releases and teaser excerpts from past and present publications. You can also contact me at Facebook, LDDJ Enterprises Publishing, or email LDDJEnterprises@gmail.com or on Twitter at JeffDawson59. Have a great week and look forward to seeing you on the next episode of Dawson's Domain.